well-known passages to read tonight. The first in Romans chapter 6. Book of Romans and chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the act of favor of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then could we turn to the book of Luke and chapter 15. Luke 15, beginning at verse 3. And he spoke to them this parable, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, and having lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And having found it, he lays it upon his own shoulders, rejoicing. And being come to the house, calls together the friends and the neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. I say unto you, that thus there shall be joy in heaven for one repenting sinner, more than for 99 righteous who have no need of repentance. And then, in verse 20, this is the part of the way through the story of the prodigal son. And he rose up and went to his own father. And while he was yet a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and covered him with kisses. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his bondmen, Bring out the best robe and clothe him in it. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and has come to life, was lost and has been found. Scripture says that all have fallen short of the glory of God. We're sinners, dear friends. Each and every one of us. Each and every one of us has fallen short of God's glory. Each and every one of us has a debt to pay that we cannot afford. And each and every one of us deserves the wages for our doings, which is death. We don't deserve to live. We don't deserve to have a chance. And yet, we have a Savior. A loving Savior who gave so much for us. A love that was recently laid on my heart that does not depend on us. Scripture says God is love. And you know what? Nothing will change that. Nothing will change that God is love. No action of you, no action of me will ever change God. Will ever change what he is to us. Will ever change what he is seeking. And that is to bring the souls to salvation. The act of favour of God. Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Other translations translate this as the free gift of God. It's free, dear friend. And it's a gift. Salvation is a gift. It's not given that you need to give something in return. Because there's nothing we can give that could pay for such a gift. There's nothing you or I could do to deserve such a gift as salvation. There's nothing you or I could do to deserve such a wonderful, wonderful free gift. Which is why it is all the more wonderful that it's free. And why is such a wonderful thing free? Because God loves you and God loves me. He loves you and me more than anything else. And it will never change. And that's why he sent our Lord Jesus to this world. Scripture says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave him because he loved you and me. Why did he give him? Because God is eternally righteous and our sins had to be paid. The wages for our sins had to be paid. But by wonderful grace, dear friend, we don't have to pay it. By wonderful grace, the debt of sin has been paid, and it's been paid in full. What have we done to deserve that?
absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. But God in his grace has given it anyway. Jesus went to Calvary's cross. He walked the way in this world. He spoke with such love, such tenderness. There were many who couldn't understand it. There were many, I think, who'd looked for one coming in seeming great strength, not one coming in such meek and lowliness. Not one coming in such love. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Thank God for that, because otherwise there would have been none to call. We are all sinners. We are all in need of repentance. We are all in need of saving, and there's only one who can give it. Do you know, it's wonderful. There's only one. And could we have a better one? Could there be a better one to save us than our Lord Jesus? One who loves us so much. You look at many other religions in this world, and they're not religions of love. We have a God who loves. We have a God who does not seek to see us punished. He seeks us to be blessed. He seeks us to enter into eternal salvation, to have his free gift of eternal life. When we look at these passages in Luke, I could turn to many scriptures in the Gospels, but I felt led to these two. It seems strange to rejoice in the finding of one who was very unworthy and 99 who were righteous. But is this not love? Is this not the love of one who wanted to see this sheep satisfied? Wanted to see this sheep in a place of safety. The shepherd knows where the safest place for the sheep is, and it's not away from him. It's in his presence. And that is why the Lord Jesus seeks you to be in his presence. That is why the Lord Jesus died on the cross. Because he loves you and he wants you to be happy. And he knows the only place where that can possibly be is with him. There is no other place, dear friend, where you can be satisfied. This world cannot provide satisfaction. There's nothing in it that can provide satisfaction. Save our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one. And dear friend, if you do not know him, he's seeking you tonight. He's seeking you because he loves you. He's seeking you because he wants you to know him. He wants you to know happiness. He wants you to know what it is to be free. To be free from sin. To be free from bondage. To be blessed. And to know that your future is secure. Because if you trust in him, you will never, ever have that bond broken. I remember watching a sketch once of a man who said, I've let you down so many times, dear God. And God replied, no, you were never holding me up. In this relationship, I hold you up. And dear friend, he will never let go of you. He will hold you in love, and you can rest sure in the knowledge that you are secure forevermore in his love. That's a cord that will never be broken. There is no power in this world or anywhere beyond this world that can break you from the Lord Jesus Christ and his love. This prodigal son, what can we say about him? Only this. He definitely didn't deserve the welcome he got. Here he was, he'd fallen very far from where he'd been. He'd left his father's house, tried to make his own way, and it had all gone very horribly wrong. Here he was, feeding pigs. How much he must have fallen to have longed to have eaten of what he saw before him. And then he remembered the provision of his father, the splendour of it, the wonder of it. And so he plans this little speech that he's going to say to him, and he sets off, really hoping he'll be allowed to come back. And then, as he gets closer, he must look up and sees a man running towards him from a long way off. That's his father. And he begins to say the words which he's decided to say, and he never finishes them. What love that father had for that son. What love for that son. Got a son's place. He didn't get the place of a hired servant. Clothed by his father. Ring on his hand. Sandals on his feet. And you know what? When he was brought into that house, if anyone who didn't know who he was had looked at him, they would have been able to say, that's the son of the father. What a parallel to that man who must have walked home. A man who in his state, I imagine, if you'd seen him, you'd have walked the other side of the road. But a man who was clothed and made welcome. He'd thought of the bread given to the hired servants. He received much more in provision. The fatted calf was killed. Something, I believe, was saved for only a very special occasion. And for the father, a special occasion was one who was lost being found. And dear friend, that is the case with our Father. God is seeking that you might be found. That you might find our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is just waiting for you to put your trust in him. It's not hard to, dear friend. The gospel message is very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And dear friend, it's one prayer that I can absolutely guarantee you will be answered immediately. It's one prayer that I can absolutely guarantee you the answer will be yes. And dear friend, in that moment, you will have been found. You will be secure for the rest of your days here. And you will have the free gift of eternal life. You will have the blessed knowledge that you will one day see the Lord Jesus Christ with your own eyes. Be able to see one who gave his very life for you. I encourage you, dear friend, that if you ever wonder about Christ's love, to remember the cross. To remember the one who hung upon it. To remember the one who had the power to come down from it. Who had the power to avoid going there. But the one who went there, not because he needed to, but because we needed him to. Dear friend, there's no words in this world that can speak highly enough of that love. There's no words that can summarize the length and breadth and depth of it. There's no words that can describe how much he has given you. Don't ignore it, dear friend. It's freely given. It's given for you. I would just implore you to accept it. Accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Because I can assure you, as I know many in this room can as well, it is a decision you will never, ever regret. It is a decision you will never, ever look back on and doubt. Put your faith and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Do so tonight, because he is coming again. He's coming again to take all those who are his own to be with himself. Are you ready for that day, dear friend? I would implore you to be so. Put your faith and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, for his name's sake. Amen.